Okay, so the boiler is working, so we will be meeting tonight at 7 p.m. For those of you who would like to join us for prayer and testimony, we will share together in communion as well. So we invite you back. It'll be good to see you if you're able to make it this evening. For those of you on Zoom and those of you here today, a warm welcome. As we close out a year, it's hard for us to believe, at least it's hard for me to believe, that 2023 is just about in the record books now. An eventful year in so many ways around the world, but we always need to keep in mind that God is sovereign and God is in control. The world is not subject to fate or random events. Our God knows what he's doing, even though we may not always understand his ways. We are going to end our year with a message today from Isaiah chapter 40, which I think is one of the most incredible scripture passages pointing us to the majesty and the greatness of God. And we need to keep in mind how great he is when problems come and challenges come and our faith may be tested and so forth. So let's join together now and invite God's Spirit to speak to our hearts and to encourage us, shall we? Let us pray. Father God, we do thank you today that you are worthy of our praise. You are clothed in majesty. You are encircled and filled with glory. You are a holy God, perfect in all your ways. You are separate from all that is evil and sinful. And it is hard for us to comprehend because we are bound here by space and time, and we are people who struggle with our weaknesses and our sin. But thank you that you are completely perfect in all your ways. Thank you that you never change. Your nature, your character is fixed for all eternity. Thank you that you are faithful and trustworthy. Chapter 40, it really is an incredible passage. So enable us to have a vision of you and your greatness as we enter into a new year, that this would be our source of strength and our source of hope. When our faith is tested, when life is uncertain, when we face challenges. So may your Holy Spirit speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I once heard a story about a boy who was sitting in his Sunday school class one Sunday morning, and the Sunday school teacher was describing the story in Genesis where Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Suddenly, the boy interrupted the teacher, and he said, "Well, this story reminds me of my mom. My mom looked back when she was driving our car, but she didn't turn into a pillar of salt. She turned into a telephone pole." Oh, no. Well, another boy was returning from church one Sunday afternoon when his mother asked him what he learned that morning in Sunday school. "Well, Mom, the teacher told us how God sent Moses behind the enemy lines on a rescue mission to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. When he got to the Red Sea, he had his army build a bridge, and all the people walked across to safety. Then Moses sent a text to get reinforcements. They sent bombers to blow up the bridge, and all the Israelites were saved." His mother replied, "Come on, Ryan, is that really what your teacher told you?" Ryan replied, "Well, that's not exactly how our teacher taught us. But if I told it the way the teacher said it, you'd never believe it." A couple of years ago, I did a message in which we looked at four distinguishing features of the worldview of consumerism. As a worldview, consumerism distorts our thinking in at least four different ways. It oversimplifies life by reducing life into neat packages and formulas. It determines the value of something based on its usefulness to us. Consumerism values style over substance, and it makes the self the center of all things. As I pointed out back then, the worldview of consumerism has affected the Christian church more than we realize. It has caused us to replace the mystery and the wonder of faith with spiritual cliches and formulas. It has caused us to replace the sovereign God with a God made in our own image, a God we can manipulate and control. It has caused us to value style and performance over spiritual depth and substance. And furthermore, consumerism has created a culture full of religious consumers who elevate their wants and their felt needs above sacrifice and service for the kingdom of God. So what is the solution to the worldview of consumerism? We've just come through the most commercial time on the calendar. One of the ways we can rise above this worldview, I believe, is to rediscover a right sense of God's greatness and majesty. As this year comes to a close and as we step into a new year, I want to encourage you by pointing you to the greatness of the God we worship and serve. As we enter into a new year, none of us knows what lay ahead of us. There will be ups and downs. There will be circumstances that challenge our faith. There will be things that cause us to worry. There will be good days, and there will be days when our faith is tested. Keeping all this in mind, I want to begin this new year by setting a high vision of God in front of us. Whatever this new year brings, we need to keep our focus on the greatness of God. To do that, let's look this morning at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 to 31. Beginning of verse 21, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps him away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." When we are bound by the consumer mindset I referred to a few moments ago, we tend to lose sight of how great and awesome God truly is. A consumer mindset diminishes our view of God by turning him into a deity that we can manage and control. Instead of a sovereign, all-powerful God who deserves awe and reverence, we are left with a God who exists to make us happy by fulfilling our wants and our desires. A.W. Tozer once said, "The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him." The essence of idolatry is the entertainment of thoughts about God that are unworthy of him. In other words, to lose sight of the majesty and grandeur of God is to engage in a form of idolatry. It's to make God in our own image. To rise above the consumer mindset, which is so much a part of our culture, we need to recapture a vision of God's greatness. This passage in Isaiah 40 gives us at least 7 points regarding the greatness and the grandeur of God. So let me encourage you today as we look at these 7 aspects of God's nature. The first thing we find in this scripture passage is the fact that God is completely transcendent. God is completely transcendent. To say that God is transcendent means that he is above and beyond all created things. God exists independent of anyone or anything, and he exists outside of time and space. Because he is transcendent, God is unknowable and unsearchable. The only way we can know God is through the revelation that he has given of himself. Verses 21 and 22 point us to God's transcendence. Verse 22 says, he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. Listen also to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. I referred to these passages during Advent. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If you're familiar with the book of Job, do you remember Job's friends in that book? His friends presumed to know the reasons for Job's suffering. They presumed to have unqualified insight into the mind of God. They soon learned that some things are much too deep for finite beings to comprehend. And there will be unanswered questions, and there will be events in this year to come that we will not be able to understand. For example, just a number of years ago, an incomprehensible tragedy unfolded in the state of Texas. During a baseball game between the Texas Rangers and the Oakland A's, a 38-year-old man was sitting in the outfield stands with his 8-year-old son by his side. The guy called out to Texas Rangers all-star outfielder Josh Hamilton, and he asked Hamilton if he could throw a baseball in their direction for a souvenir. Hamilton said he would try. Sure enough, a couple of innings later, Hamilton caught a fly ball that ended the inning. As he promised, Hamilton tossed the baseball toward the man and the son. The man reached over to catch the ball, but his momentum carried him over the railing. He fell 20 feet below and died from his injuries. Now, what you need to know about this whole scenario is that Josh Hamilton, the player who threw the ball to the man, is a well-respected Christian. He is involved in his community, using his influence to share his faith in a variety of ways. And when he threw the ball to this fan to give him a souvenir, he was simply trying to be kind, but it all ended in tragedy. Hamilton was understandably distraught and shaken up by this turn of events. As a Christian, he struggled to make sense of what happened. And I don't need to tell you that walking with God will involve times of struggle. It will involve times in which we are wrestling with unanswered questions and we are wrestling with events that simply don't make any sense. For that reason, we need to resist the temptation to replace the mystery and the wonder of faith with spiritual cliches and spiritual formulas. Although we can know God through a relationship with Christ, this side of eternity, our knowledge will be limited and our knowledge will be imperfect. Here's a second point from Isaiah chapter 40. God rules over the nations to accomplish his purposes. God rules over the nations to accomplish his purposes. Listen to verse 23 once again. It says that God brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. In the book of Daniel, we are told that God sets up kings and he deposes them. In other words, God rules over history. He rules over human affairs to accomplish his divine purposes. Are you worried about wars and rumors of wars? Are you worried about the economy and terrorism? Are you worried about where this world is headed? I understand if you are. But Isaiah says, look to God and understand that this world is held in his hands. Nothing escapes our God's attention or escapes his control. Let me draw your attention to a third point. God is infinitely beyond compare. Verse 25 asks a rhetorical question. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? It's a rhetorical question because the answer is that no one and nothing is like the living God. He alone has the power to create something out of nothing. He alone has infinite knowledge and wisdom. He alone has power over life and death. He holds all of creation together, and it all exists for his glory. In chapter 40, Isaiah wants to challenge our small thinking. He wants to give us a vision of the power, majesty, and greatness of our incomparable God. Here's a fourth point from today's passage. The heavens are the work of God's hands. The heavens are the work of God's hands. Now, I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about how much time and how much energy and how much expense human beings have incurred in an effort to study our world. Centuries have come and gone, and hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars have been spent as people try to understand the universe, as they try to understand the very workings of the human body and the complexity of nature. Acquiring this knowledge is a good thing because God has given us the ability to think and explore. Furthermore, we can study the world because God has created a world of order, a universe that is based on consistent scientific laws. I find it striking that we're still learning things about this world, and we will continue to do so till the end of time. Yet God simply spoke creation into existence through the power of his word. A world of such extreme complexity is nothing compared to the power of God. In verse 26, Isaiah reminds us that God knows the number of stars. Now, according to our current understanding, the universe is about 156 billion light years wide. The total estimated number of stars is in the trillions of billions. Verse 22 says that God stretches out the heavens like a tent. The implication is that God is immeasurably greater than the universe itself. Point number five, God has no beginning and no end. The first part of verse 28 refers to God as the everlasting God. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, it's hard for us to conceive of something or anyone who has no beginning or end, because we measure everything according to space and time. But God's eternal nature is revealed to us in creation. Century after century, the sun and the planets continue in their orbits. The seasons come and go at their appointed times. These things attest to God's eternal power. He is the everlasting God who has no beginning and no end and will always remain the same. Well, it's not often that we hear good news in the media. We don't tend to hear it very often, but I once came across a very heartwarming story. A number of years ago, a couple in Los Angeles received the horrible news that their three-year-old grandson had been murdered by their daughter's boyfriend. Their three-year-old grandson was being kept alive on life support for about 24 hours so that his organs could be donated. The grandfather desperately wanted to travel to Denver to be with his daughter before they turned off the life support. So the next morning, after a restless night, he booked a last-minute flight to Denver, Colorado. The only flight he could get involved a connection in Tucson, Arizona. After arriving in Tucson, he was supposed to step off the plane and immediately get on another plane that was headed to Denver. But his flight into Tucson arrived late, meaning that he had missed the connecting flight to Denver. Fighting back tears, he knew he would not be there for his daughter when they took his grandson off life support. Much to his surprise, when he stepped inside the Tucson airport, He noticed his flight to Denver hadn't left yet. In fact, the pilot was standing there waiting at the gate for him. "Is your name Mark?" the pilot asked. When the grandfather said yes, the pilot said, "I heard about your tragedy from the ticket agent. We held the plane for you and we are so sorry about the loss of your grandson. This plane can't go anywhere without me, and I wasn't going to go anywhere without you. We'll make sure you get to Denver in time to be with your daughter." When the story hit the news, many people expected Southwest Airlines to reprimand their pilot for delaying a flight. It actually cost an airline a lot of money to delay flights. But in a statement, the company said, "We are proud of our pilot because he understands that taking a child off life support has consequences that run far deeper than a flight taking off late." And we find it inspiring when we hear stories of people who show compassion and caring. In Isaiah's day, the Israelites wondered if God really cared. At times, it seemed as though the Lord was indifferent to their pain, indifferent to their suffering. This is expressed in verse 27, where the Israelites complain, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." And I'm sure at times we all feel like that, don't we? We wonder, where is God in the midst of my anguish? Does he really care? Why does he seem absent and silent? And why do some of my prayers, my heartfelt prayers, go unanswered or seem to go unanswered? And this leads us to a sixth point from today's passage. God gives strength to the weary. God gives strength to the weary. The end of verse 28 tells us that God gives strength to the weary and power to the weak. Now, having described the greatness of God in verses 21 to 26, Isaiah reminds us that God is faithful and actively involved in the lives of those who put their trust in him. Although we cannot comprehend the greatness of God, although we cannot comprehend his ways or all his ways, the truth is, he is not indifferent to our struggles and not indifferent to our needs. And so remember this, in 2024, God cares for you. Let me leave you with one last point from today's text. God is closer than I can imagine. Now, I want you to think about what's happening here in Isaiah chapter 40. He's describing the greatness of God, but also reminding us that as great and transcendent as God is, he is near to us. He's not just a distant and transcendent God. And verse 29 to 31 speak about God's nearness. Not only is God the transcendent and majestic creator, he is also the God who comes near to us. In James, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Although God is exalted above his creation, he is also imminent, meaning that he is present everywhere. The world we live in is filled with his presence and his glory. Hebrews 4:16 reminds us that God is not distant from our problems and our needs. This verse says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In your time of need, God will give you the grace to meet that challenge, whatever that challenge might be. He will give you the grace you need. I want to simply leave you with a couple of questions to think about this morning as we've looked at Isaiah chapter 40. How do we apply this to our lives? Let me give you two questions to reflect on this week. At times, the problems we face in life can seem overwhelming. The problems we see in the world can also overwhelm us. So let me ask you, how can the portrait of God here in Isaiah 40 give you courage and strength during those times of challenge that may come your way in this new year? How can the portrait of God here in Isaiah 40 encourage you during the difficult times of life? Let me leave you with a second question for reflection. Is your concept of God, is your understanding of God, as rich and deep as the God who has revealed himself here in Isaiah chapter 40? Is your concept of God as rich and deep as the God who is revealed here in Isaiah chapter 40? Please join with me and let us pray. Father God, we cannot even begin to comprehend how great you are. We cannot even begin to comprehend an everlasting God. But Scripture tells us from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We cannot even begin to comprehend a God who knows all things. A God who knows our very hearts and knows our motives and knows our greatest fears and our deepest needs. A God who hears the prayers of hundreds of millions of people, billions of people each day. Father, we thank you that you are great. And we ask and we confess that so often our vision of you is small. As author J.B. Phillips once said, your God is too small. Father, help us to have an enlarged vision of who you are and how great you are. Father, we know in a new year, challenges will come for each of us, and they will come in different forms. But may we be sustained not only by your grace, but be sustained by a faith that always reminds us that you are greater than we can imagine. You are greater than any of our problems and challenges. You are sovereign over all things, and you are faithful to do all that you have promised to do. So, Lord, as we enter into a new year tomorrow morning, may you just help us to keep this vision of you before us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.